Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the IAA Mobility Visionary Club podcast. We are coming to you live from the sidelines of the IAA Mobility here in Munich. We have a live audience. Welcome. We're very happy to have all of you. Today we are talking about mobility as a service. Here with me to break it down are two guests. I'm joined by Bjorn Bender, President and CEO at Rail Europe. Bjorn, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And I'm also joined on my right by Thomas Zimmermann, CEO at Freenow. Welcome, Thomas.
Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about mobility as a service. This obviously involves a lot of components. There's ride sharing, public transit, digital platforms. How can all of these elements come together to create a seamless experience for people like me, users?
Yeah, I think in general, we need to think about what problem are we trying to solve, right? So and when we look at why is there a need for MaaS, it's there are environmental reasons, but there are also reasons in the cities and by the people what needs to change, right? So a vast majority of people want lesser cars in the city because they want lesser congestion, lesser noise. Cars occupy a lot of space, right? They send 90% of the time. And therefore, to offer something to replace it, you need to actually tackle the part of convenience because most of the people have a car because it's very convenient. So if you want to present an alternative, it needs to be equally convenient, right? And you need to have a lot of options. And ideally, it all needs to be without a lot of hassle, right? Very stress-free. And therefore, I think that's the point where to tackle. And also what we are trying to do in bringing all of the different mobility servers together in one app, where you then only have one login, one-time payment registration, one-time driver registration to make it as seamless as possible.
And we should back up for a second and say Freenow, in case you've been living under a rock, is a ride sharing service, right? Is that a fair description?
Yeah, it started out as a ride sharing service. So taxi is at our core and will always be. But we opened the system to all other modes of transportation and partnering with a lot of very cool companies across Europe. We have 14 partners by now, and we offer car sharing and also e-scooters, e-moped, public transport, right? So there's basically the full width of mobility available. And if you're a customer of ours, you have by now around 450 vehicles you have access to in Europe.
Okay, very cool. We're going to talk more about those exact partnerships and strategies in just a second. Bjorn, tell us quickly before we dive into this, Rail Europe, if people don't know what that is, what is it?
So we are basically the leading ticketing platform for European trains around the globe. So really combining more than 100 European railway brands in one platform and providing through one API, mainly to B2B, but also to B2C, the whole portfolio of European train travel.
When I heard about this, I was like, how has this not already existed? Like, why did it take so long?
Honestly, Rail Europe is quite an old company. So it was founded 90 years back. So 90. It's almost unbelievable.
You're blowing my mind.
But it was for a very long time a subsidiary of SNCF, so the French railways, and also the Swiss Federal Railways, SBB. And we got independent last year. So today we are, let's say, PE-backed and completely independent in the way we are working. And of course, there are lots of opportunities in the rail and in the mobility sector to support into the right direction, transforming mobility.
Very good. Okay, we're going to talk a little more about that in a second. But a lot of people these days, including myself, you know, they're living in an urban area. We're trying to use our privately owned vehicles less. How do you evaluate the current situation for mobility as a service?
So what we are seeing is that there is still a tremendous growth potential, right? So yes, people actually want to use their car less, but if you look at the numbers, it's only a fraction. So still below 20% of people who actually tried a shared mobility service, right? So there is a lot of room to grow for these services and actually to drive change. So I think we are merely at the beginning of the change of urban mobility.
Do you agree, Bjorn?
Absolutely. I'm still enthusiastic about the starting point from mobility as a service, you know, because maybe today it got a bit of a fancy and buzzword discussion in the industry. And that's a shame of the site. And the starting point is to create really new mobility, to create better mobility in terms of environmental things, basically for specific customer needs and mainly also customized and even tailor-made. So that's the idea of mobility as a service. And we know there's lots of, or there are very high complexities still in different mobility solutions we are consuming day by day. And if we do not reach a level of convenience, what is comparable to the private owned car, then we have no ability to change exactly that, what Thomas mentioned, yeah, that we are seeing in the markets, that we still have a very, very high number and increasing number, for instance, of private owned cars. Yeah.
So it seems like we agree on two things. One, there's still a lot of potential for growth. And two, it has to be convenient. So what do we do? How do we make it more user-friendly across multiple service providers and authorities?
So, I mean, we try to tackle the problem, especially in terms of convenience, right? So when you have a car, you know where it is. And most likely it's in front of your house or in your garage and you go there, right? So when you look at shared services, they are distributed, right? So for us, the problem we were trying to solve is how can we make sure you get always the nearest vehicle possible without flipping through multiple apps, right? Seeing, okay, what's the car sharing? What's the next scooter? And going through a million apps, right? And then maybe it's already reserved or when. So we aggregated all of that. So when you're in our app, you basically always see where is the nearest scooter, where's the nearest car sharing, can reserve it directly and go there. So I think that plays a huge part of convenience. Ride hailing actually has ever been convenient because a car comes to you. So I think that plays very much into that, but it's also a very specific use case.
Okay, that's fair. Bjorn, I'm curious, how do you evaluate the chances of users getting a super app for all forms of mobility? And I'm talking like road, rail, air, maybe ferries.
So let's say the purpose of Rail Europe sounds quite simple, let's say. Huh? So we see ourselves as the platform which really reduces complexity in the rail industry. So we are really focused on rail because it's still not convenient to travel mainly international through entire Europe. So what we are doing is when we are talking to more than 100 different railway brands, we try to get transparency into that system, functionalities in terms of compare different tickets, tariffs, also relations, durations, and so on. And of course, providing the best option in terms of train travel for the customers. But our, let's say, building block for the mobility of the future, of course, can be used by other providers to build a complete mobility as a service system. Yeah. So like tour operators, like other platform providers and so on. But we would provide the rail inventory, yeah, through one API to others to empower them, to enable them to build up the complete mobility chain. So that's not our purpose because we see a very high complexity in the train system. And we definitely see it as our strategic approach, the right way to focus on that.
What challenges do you encounter when you're trying to integrate diverse services? If you want to have one app that offers everything, what are the obstacles in the way?
I mean, obviously, you need to have some sort of proper integration so it's seamless, right? So therefore, you need to have a proper API. So we built our own API system to integrate the partners. And I would say, with private companies, that's working out quite well, right? So there we are already in a very good flow in integrating partners. Where we have seen it a bit more tricky is with regional public transport, right? Because every city has their own system.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have standardized APIs. They normally don't have large tech teams. So that is a bit more tricky. But the very, very positive development, at least here in Germany, was the launch of the Deutschland ticket. Because that's basically one ticket for 49 euros where you can use all inner city public transport and certain modes also of in between cities, not the very fast trains, but the regional ones. And there we only needed to build the opportunity once to buy it because then it's available Germany wide. So that made a big leap forward in integrating that in Germany.
Bjorn, what about you? What are the challenges when you're dealing with national railway networks?
Of course, there are a lot of challenges, but we need to have in mind, we are really talking about a heavily growing industry. Yeah? So and we never expected that we are on that level post the pandemic in 2022. So the European train travel was already 12% above 2019 last year.
Wow.
So it's really heavily growing. So let's say between 10 and 20% for each carrier in Europe. And of course, the expectations and the demand is completely changing because we are also traveling by train in a complete different new way, not so much for commuting, not so much for business reasons, more for leisure, short-term trips. We want to carry our skis, we want to carry our bikes and so on. So when we are talking about mobility as a service, for me, it's very important that we have in mind, we are talking about two different layers. Now we're talking about the digital one. And of course, Thomas and myself, our companies are working mainly on those, but there's a physical one specifically for the train industry. Yeah. When we really want to develop a European train system. And coming back to your question, yes, it's still very much with a national perspective. Yeah. On specific train systems. And that's maybe our main goal. Yeah. To really support also the carriers to think in a more combined, in a more connected European overall system.
This is personal to me because I'm going to date myself here, but if you've ever been like an American college student trying to plan your Eurorail trip where you're going to go to Portugal and you're going to go to Germany, it's impossible to figure out these, or it was, you know, 20 years ago to figure out these websites. So I'm excited for what you're doing. I'm curious for both of you, this is a question. How do you address concerns about brand dilution and competition from providers? Do you ever get any pushback?
So we have not experienced any pushback so far, because it's actually mutually beneficial. If we look at the pure players, the asset providers, every time an asset stands still, it's actually not good for them, right? So they have their assets in movement. And as we come with a quite established brand and a large user base, we bring them additional usage of their service, right? And for us, it's perfect because we can offer that to our user base. These are our customers. They don't need to leave the app. There's an upside for us. And for our partners, they get additional utilization of their products, what's the main goal for them. So far, that has been a very successful win-win relationship.
Same for us. Very, very much win-win. And this may be changed over the last 10 to 15 years, I would say, because also our partners, our suppliers, the carriers see us as their partners. We see them as our partner to really solve problems, to face common challenges. And we bring more than 5 million people a year into the European trains. So we really have a, let's say, very beneficial collaboration at the moment and really see this growth, what I was talking about, as a, let's say, as a common objective, yeah, for the next 3 to 5 years to grow mainly also outside of Europe, bringing people to Europe traveling by train, eh? Because we really have to have in mind that specifically in the US, also in Asia and so on, more and more people are traveling to Europe, yeah? and they are involving huge middle classes, for instance, in markets like China and India. They're coming 100 millions of people maybe during the next years to Europe, and we decide with our offers how they will travel. Yeah? And this is really a main part when it comes to sustainability, when it comes to really the new way of how we want to offer the right mobility solutions in Europe.
I'm glad you mentioned sustainability because I think this is an area where there's a huge amount of potential. What strategies can we use to encourage more environmentally friendly modes of transport, public transport, cycling, walking? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that to you guys. But
sure. So I think what we are trying to do is to drive that change in a way. So like the partners we are onboarding with more newer modes of mobility, like e-scooters or e-mopeds, they are electrified per definition. Right. And when we look at ride-hailing, which obviously operates on cars, we are also trying to support our partners to get better conditions when they get EVs. Right. So we have a partnership, for example, in Germany with Aral BP, so they can use their charging network with special conditions. We partner with cities. In the city of Hamburg, there's an initiative called Future Taxi, where they launched around 400 electric taxis. So basically building up an electrified fleet where the majority can be booked by us. Right. So we are really trying, as we don't own the assets, we cannot fully control it. We are trying to support with basically the economies of scale that we can bring into that to drive that transition forward.
And for rail, maybe I just can add that. So, of course, for us, it's good to see that we are talking about a very hot topic in terms of sustainability. Yes, rail travel. That's good that we see that it's getting more and more sexy because it wasn't that for the last 20 years. It was very cool to fly and so on. Those things are changing. That's good to see. And on the other side, of course, train travel was always, let's say, green. But we know, and this is maybe the main factor we are working on, that the reason to choose for a specific mode of transport is number 6, 7, 8, sustainability. We know that still people choose their specific mode because of price, safety, and mainly convenience. And when it comes to us, what we can provide is, again, less complexity, more transparency, and more convenience for the people. And then hopefully they will decide for the more sustainable mode of transport.
That makes sense. Let's put on our thinking caps and look into the future, make some predictions and forecasts. Which innovations are going to improve mobility platforms in the future to make trip planning, booking, and payment more convenient for users?
We are really focusing on AI. It sounds a bit boring when I'm mentioning that, but from our point of view, accompanying our customers throughout the process from inspiration to customer care, based on artificial intelligence with all our, of course, human support, we will add on top. This is the main part we are working on.
Yeah, I think as we are focusing maybe only on metropolitan areas a bit more, I would say it is actually already quite seamless in terms of the user flow. I think where there can always be then enhancements is in terms of the routings, right? What is your best way? Maybe also in the future, having AI-generated suggestions of how you can combine modes, right? Where you don't need to plan the trip for yourself, but you say, okay, I want to go there. And then basically the best way is if you take a scooter to there, then take the public transport and so on. So to have that in a better combination, I think that is definitely something the future could hold.
Okay, the future sounds pretty exciting when you put it like that. We're coming towards the end of our conversation. I could talk to you guys all morning, but I want to make sure we leave time for a quick rapid fire round. I'm going to give each of you two choices and you have to choose one, okay? No saying neither or I choose both, okay? No cheats. I had someone on the last episode try to cheat. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. That's right. Okay. So, Mr. Zimmerman, e-scooter or cycling?
Cycling.
Bjorn, subscription offers or pay as you go?
Subscription.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
No, it's for me, it's a private choice or a personal choice. And maybe it's the first step getting out of ownership into a pay-as-you-go.
Thomas, rail or flight for international travel?
For international travel, I would say when possible within Europe, rail.
Mm-hmm. Outside that makes Bjorn very happy.
Outside of Europe, pretty tricky to do.
Fair. Do not try to take a train to America. It will not go well if you're coming from Germany. Bjorn, on your commute, silence or entertainment?
Silence. Silence for work, actually, yeah?
Thomas, working from home or going to the office?
Hybrid. I know I need to decide. So if I would need fully decide, then office. But okay. I like the hybrid mode of both.
I'll allow that. That's fair. Okay. And Bjorn, finally, very important because we are in Munich at IAA Mobility. Weißwurst or Schnitzel?
Weißwurst.
All right. I had the pleasure last night, and this is a very quick story because we're running out of time, of trying Weißwurst ice cream. There's this crazy shop in Munich that makes like all different flavors of ice cream. If you haven't tried, I'm not getting paid to say this, it's not sponsored. It will blow your mind. Like even after you're tasted it, you're still kind of like, what did I just eat? It's crazy.
The exciting question is if you can eat it after 12 o'clock. Yeah? So because usually Weißwurst, it has to be before 12 o'clock.
Ah,
but
see,
maybe
this I
Weißwurst
didn't know.
Ice cream is different. Huh?
It seems like it should be an exception.
What a loophole.
Great. Well, Bjorn Bender, President and CEO at Rail Europe, and Thomas Zimmerman, CEO at Freenow. It's been a huge pleasure. Go get yourself some Weißwurst ice cream and enjoy the rest of the IAA mobility.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.